This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Very popular. Former Falcons got a new home. We'll tell you about that. And we'll tell you what Arthur Blank and the coach had to say about tampering. There's no tampering. It is the 5 o'clock hour. Carl and I start the 5 with a big hearty,
hey, man.
How you feeling, baby? How's the pipes?
It's coming along. I mean, stretches, Mike. Stretches.
You sound good, man.
Well, like I think Conti said earlier, you know, you think in your head, I sound like this. But I'm sounding decent. So it's coming, man. I feel much better. And it's not that I was sick or anything, but just the voice. Because when you can't do what you want to do, it's not fun.
I'm with you, pal. This hour of the show brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Coach was talking. Arthur Blank was talking. This tampering thing apparently is not going away. Carl mentioned earlier, Mike Florio turned into a freaking federal case from Pro Football Talk that our trainer, and he picked up on this when Kirk Cousins said in his introductory press conference at Flowery Branch that he was talking to one of our trainers.
Yep.
And that would have been before technically the NFL year began, which meant he was technically property of the Vikings, which is stupid. But anyway. It's still a thing. Here's Coach Rye asked about the tampering scenario.
You know, I'm really not allowed to really discuss it right now while it's under review. But, you know, I got a lot of confidence in our people that we did the right thing. And, you know, it is what it is. And it's some of those things that happen when you get excited, when you talk about those things. But, you know, we'll talk about those things at the appropriate time. Just right now, it's probably not that time.
Yeah, and I guess if there's an ongoing investigation, it's kind of like anything else. You just can't get into it too much in depth, Carl. But as we said, you know, what bearing does this have when everyone and their uncle knows he's coming to Minnesota? It's already been reported, and he's driving in his car, apparently talking to a trainer he's going to be working with.
Yeah.
He's already made the decision to come. The trainer didn't coerce Kirk Cousins into – and as I said, I just know if this was like a civil court, what's the harm done to the Vikings, you know, as the die's already been cast, is my point.
I think more than anything, the league is simply saying – we have these set of rules that everybody has to follow. And no matter what the situation or circumstances, nobody can break these rules. And we just need to make sure that everybody understands that. But this is not worth a draft pick. This is not worth picks.
No.
If you're going to do anything, find Arthur Blank and let's keep it moving. But I don't even think this is worth that because I don't feel like the evidence is there, Mike. When Kirk Cousins makes a passing comment about talking to a trainer and it turns into a federal case. So
right.
I have said, let's turn the page on this. I totally agree with Ra, and I certainly agree with Mr. Blank on this.
Right. The NFL, Roger Goodell is speaking with the media up there today saying they are hard at work on the Saquon Barkley and Cousins tampering investigation. So we'll see where that one goes. Now, you could argue there was a bigger market for Saquon Barkley, and if he's having specific conversation with somebody in the personnel department, maybe that's just, I mean, look.
Who are you going to call, his mom?
Right.
Like that, he doesn't have an agent.
Right.
Okay. More guys are doing this, by the way. And by the way, the number one overall pick doesn't have an agent either.
Nope.
He's got guys he's working with, he's got marketing guys, but he doesn't have an agent either, Mike. So, I mean, this is becoming because you're slotted. You know right. what you're going to get.
It's a lock-in. And the only thing you'd have to get, basically, is if you want to get a lawyer, he can draw up and see what the last year's number one got, add 5% or whatever you think the cost of living is, and that's what your fifth-year option is going to be.
Yeah,
right?
But the guys that have been working with Caleb Williams, they've been working with him since he was 16. And I just think, like, this is going to become the norm. If you're a top-five pick, Mike, unless you want to, but you don't need that. And so, like, This is something the NFL is going to have to deal with, and I think going to have to be a little bit more lenient when it comes to guys who are representing themselves. What happened with Lamar last year?
Yeah, Lamar, and he still technically was representing himself. He did have advisors, but they got the deal done. Bosa is probably one of the last holdouts where there was an issue that went late into camp. That was with the Chargers, because the Chargers are notoriously cheap, and Bosa's dad is greedy. So that's basically how that one turned out. Yeah,
but no one else called for Lamar, but the point is, not having an agent, this is just you're dealing with the teams directly.
Right. But we'll see where this one goes. I just, as I said, if it's cash, it's Arthur Blank's cash. No way you get a draft pick out of this. Speaking of Arthur Blank, he was making the rounds in Orlando and talking about Kirk Cousins and, what's it all about?
Well, I think, we were debating. I mean, we knew when we said this immediately postseason, that a quarterback play had to get better coming into this current season. And there was a number of ways we could fill that and still awesome combinations that we could consider. But Kirk obviously has had an excellent career in the NFL, 12 years, two six-year runs with two very good franchises and won a lot of games. And we thought in terms of free agency, he was the best answer for us.
Yeah, I mean, we know that there was basically a pecking order. It was Cousins, Baker Mayfield, and then it was going to be to try to trade up in the draft if possible. That was the mindset of Fontenot and Raheem and the Brain Trust, and Arthur signs off on it. Here's a question, though, for Arthur Blank, which I like. It's playoffs or bust, right, Mr. Blank?
Well, I don't know that it burns inside of me every single day, every moment. It'd be, a good soundbite. But, I mean, it does, I feel like my responsibility as an owner to our fans, to the players, to the coaches, is to make sure we're as competitive as we can be every single year, to make sure that we have an opportunity to get into the tournament, get into the playoffs. We understand a single game elimination, anything can happen. We'd love to get back to the Super Bowl and have a chance to win. And really win for our fan base that's been supportive of Atlanta since 1966. And it's a great fan base. And they fill up Mercedes-Benz Stadium beautifully for us, for football and for soccer as well, and for virtually every other event we have there. But So I'm anxious to do that, but we got to take it one step at a time, and we got to get ourselves in a position where we can where we're competing for that. And I think we're in a position now. We're definitely a more competitive team than we were a year ago.
And again, the specific question was Super Bowl or bust, because obviously there's a finite amount of time that Kirk Cousins can deliver the goods.
Yeah.
One would imagine.
Well, he's acknowledging what we all knew, and being very nice about it. The quarterback play sucked, and at the end of the day, we knew we were going to have to upgrade. Where they were going to go and getting a vet, I just think it makes everybody feel a little bit more comfortable, with the guy that's been in the league for 12 years, regardless of what you think about Kirk. Right. I just think that's the play here. And, Mike, you don't have to worry about all the small things that you had to worry about, whether it was the transition from Mariota, who obviously is not a starter in this league, to what Desmond Ridder gave us. And so now you just put all that stuff aside. And now you don't have to worry about all that other stuff that you were concerned with. Let's go play.
As he said in the answer there, it's about being competitive. I mean, we've not been competitive. We haven't been to the playoffs since 17. So the first step was, as you just touched on, you've got to get stability in the quarterback position. We think we bought, now the contract says 4, but we think we bought 3 years of stability at QB, and go do it. Now, the other side of this is the draft, because we got to get some defensive pieces. We played this about a half hour ago, but I want the guys in their car and ladies to hear this. Carl and I were trying to, read between the lines, read the tea leaves. Here's Coach Ra asked about edge rush, right? It's got to be edge rush at 8, right, Coach?
Oh, man, I think it's a really deep draft class all around. I think the edge rushers are well-known and well-documented right now what they can do. It is about how they fit with us and some of the stuff that they can do with us and how they be able to be a part of our football team. But I'm really excited with the opportunity to add some of those type of people at our point in the draft at some point. And when that happens, you never know, because you don't predict those things, but what you want to do is be prepared when you get to those buckets to have people in those spots that you feel really good about taking and adding to your football team so you can go out there and be productive with those guys.
At a point, like second round?
At a point where it's comfortable. At a point where it makes sense. At a point that sounds like he's not drafting an edge rusher.
Guys,
I'm joking.
We said this about 2 or 3 weeks ago. You have evaluation. You look at the mock drafts. They say Jared Verse at 8 or Dallas Turner at 8. They might not think those guys are the 8th best player.
Well, listen, if one of these corners is better, okay, and I use that term relatively, on the board, if one of these corners, Mike, is considered to be a top 6 or 7 player, and both of these edge rushers are top 15 or 16 players, you're telling me you're not taking the best corner over that. That's right. And then you get into, well, yes, we need it. You need it, but you're not drafting truly the best player at the time in which you're going to be drafting. So are you cheating yourself just by saying we need edge and you're going with a guy who may be ranked 15th overall in this draft? We don't know how any of these guys are going to play out over the next 3 years. So right now, it's just all this information and analytics, Mike, that you're going on. Right. Nobody knows how these guys are going to turn out.
But do you feel Ebikadie? I know we talk about everything with Ebikadie is, you know, the process of turning the corner. Is this the year that he really becomes a double-digit sack guy? Zach Harrison looked, and we know, at moments late in the season. He was talking more today with the media about Arnold Ebikadie in the center of the line. I mean, I should say David Onyemata, a different guy. David Onyemata and Grady Jarrett coming back healthy, and how much a healthy Grady Jarrett with Onyemata will help those other guys.
It's a big deal. I know. But when we lost Grady, we lost a lot up front. And there was a lot more pressure on these linebackers. Mike, how much better are the linebackers with Grady and Onyemata?
Hey, and by the way, I still don't know what Troy Andersen is. Nate Landman might beat him out for the job this year.
Yeah.
You know, so we'll see on that one. And then, the idea about Calais Campbell, would you bring him back? Now, we don't have a lot of money right now. You got to restructure to make that work, and maybe there'll be more coming. But a guy that was very popular with the fans today gets a perfect landing spot. By the way, if you listen to the show, we're up at Flowery Branch every Wednesday. We told you there was no dysfunction in the locker room. There was no disconnect. Cordarrelle Patterson wanting the football more just meant Cordarrelle Patterson wanted the football more because he's an athlete and he wants to compete. Cordarrelle Patterson signs a 2-year deal, incentive-laden contract that reads as $6 million. Could be a little bit less, could be a little bit more with the Steelers. So he goes and reunites with Arthur Smith.
Yeah, I'm sure it's 1 year, Mike, with a bunch of guaranteed. Either way, congratulations. Listen, he was great for us. What was the year, Mike, that he carried? Oh, Marcus Mariota year.
Right.
He 20, carried
yep,
us.
Yep, it was 22.
He carried us. So, listen, CP and the whole beef, putting social media out there, he's like any player who wants to rock, to Mike's point. I think he'll fit perfectly with what they're trying to do. And with the return game now,
right,
he adds an element.
We're going to get more into that coming up as far as the rule changes and how that will impact a guy like Cordarrelle Patterson. I will say this. We did pick up speed elements, and we picked up two players that have experience in both kick returns and punt returns. And Avery Williams is also back, who was a huge loss last year in special teams. Guys, I know you love Cordarrelle Patterson. With Bijan and with the Algier, that's a luxury. That's a luxury you just don't have. And we're going to a new style of offense. So good for him. It's a chance for him to get some traction. Hopefully kicks ass. Just not against us when we play the Steelers at Mercedes-Benz. This hour of the program, guys, is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. Coming up in the Strong Arm Story, Carl, there's a schedule tweak. We got rule changes. Basically, the NBA saying, white flag? NFL's trying to take over Christmas. Coming up.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Story of the day is brought to you by John Foyt Associates Personal Injury Law.
Big story of the day, what's going down with the NFL. Some big rule changes for the most popular sport here in America. But real quick, we will talk more on the six. But be remiss if we don't mention the Hawks. Great comeback last night, Carl, against the Celtics down 30.
Absolutely amazing. You and I both thought this game was over in the second quarter. Horford hit a three, and they went up 30. And, like, they couldn't miss in the first half, right? And then the Hawks come out, and you're like, all right, well, let's make it respectable. And they just grind and grind. And all of a sudden, you look up and, like, it's a three-point game. And then it's a tie game. And then DeAndre Hunter, we need you, is hitting a three to settle it. It was unbelievable, Mike. Best win of the season.
Right. And we talked about all those mass hauls, all those Boston people coming in. It was great to send them home. Shut up. Zip it. Because the Hawks did not get swept for the season by the Celtics. And as we said, that's historical. The numbers are insane. Five in like 2,606 games.
Bananas.
Have teams been down that far and been able to come back. And we mentioned now, will this lead to something? We don't know, and we don't profess to know that. But it is. If you were there, you can say you went to one of the coolest games in recent Hawks history.
Yeah, listen, I don't want to jump ahead of ourselves and say now, you know, we're going to be a force to be reckoned with. But it just shows you when you give the energy and the effort, and it took a lot to get back into a game like that without your starters, no Jalen, no Trey, all the things this team's been dealing with against the best team in the NBA. Guys, it's not even close. This team is 9 games in front of Denver, who's the champions last year. Best team in the NBA. They came in, Mike, with what, a 9-game win streak.
Right.
Right? They're just rolling. And so to do that and have that kind of effort, it says a lot. And the irony is, you know, you got a chance to pick up one tomorrow against Portland. Then you play the Celtics again on Thursday. And then on Saturday, you got the Bucks. It's a tough week. But, Mike, right. If you want to really maintain that spot in the Eastern Conference, you got to find a way to win a few more of these this week.
I know it's just one game, and they, you know, hey, we had their number, but Joe Mazzulla did some things at the end of that game as far as some of those final possessions that were just kind of like silly that didn't make a lot of sense, and we took advantage of it, played great defense. Hey, man, like I said, just enjoy the moment as the Hawks win 120-118. The big story today, the strong arm story, is the rules. The new rule book's here, Carl. The new rule book's here. It is official. We are going to go to that XFL-style kickoff where the kicker will be back at his own 35, and the kicking team will be on the opponent's 40. The receiving team will be on the 35-30, their option, and they'll can have one or two guys back there for the kick. No fair catches. And it does have some people fired up that we're not able to keep. Cordero Patterson, who obviously made a lot of hay as a great kick return guy and has the last kickoff return in Falcons history. But just real quick before we get to the big story, you and I were just talking, reading some of the texts and the tweets. I know he's a fan favorite, guys, but I just think you're barking up the wrong tree if you feel this is the move which we blew with Cordero Patterson. We just didn't have the money. We've assigned money to the best quarterback we've had in 7 years and to some receivers that make this team look more like the Rams. And we got a big running back room, Carl. And we brought in kick returners.
Yeah, I think this is a nice accessory piece for the Steelers. But even Cordero Patterson's not going to go there and carry them. He's just not. So I love what he brought to our team. I love his toughness. He's a fan favorite, Mike, because he throws footballs before the game, and a lot of kids got a chance to catch balls from him and all that kind of stuff. And he'll take that to Pittsburgh. But this is not a make-or-break move for the Atlanta Falcons.
No.
It's just not.
So that's official now. That one's done. We also talked about the tackling thing, which it has happened a number of times, and players have been injured. We're not denying that it has. I just never thought it was at the epidemic level to where we were going to have to start moving to banning the swivel hip drop tackle, but it's official. We talked about it yesterday. So now the refs will have another thing, Carl, which they can perhaps misinterpret in a big moment, and defenders around the league getting on social media, whether it's a linebacker or a safety corner, saying, how the hell am I supposed to tackle these days?
Well, be careful. I mean, that's all I can tell you. I don't want the horse collar. I think that's a more dangerous tackle than what we're talking about here because this happens rarely. It is rare where you don't have leverage, and I'm going to use my body to bend and twist a guy and swivel, right? And then all of a sudden, the issue is, guys, knees pop, ankles. When you use the force of your body to bring a guy down like this.
Or I'm falling down as I tackle you. Sometimes it's not malicious. Sometimes that's not the intent to do that. You know, the rugby, as we talk about the rugby tackle, it's in some cases, it's just the game is
the
played.
Force.
It's the force, and it's a high-speed game played by the best athletes. I know I say it all the time, the matrix element, where you, now Rich McKay and the competition committee have added another wrinkle to the rule book that perhaps can come back to bite you in a very, you know, these moments. Just like the play in Tampa Bay 2 years ago with Grady. We got all this ticky-tack stuff for being around the head. And when you know it's not a malicious shot, it's a slap, it's a glancing blow, they still enforce 15 yards. And this is going to be one that I think it can come back to bite some teams in a big moment like it always does.
Here's my question, and this is why I wanted to get Rich McKay on. What's reviewable? Is this just going to be called in a vacuum, Mike, and no matter, it doesn't get a chance to go upstairs? That's where we've got to wait to see how this may hurt a team or help a team who might be on the other end of this, even though they might lose a player to injury. I want to know what's reviewable when you start putting these rules into place and say, okay, we're taking this tackle out. It is an interpretation, and it happens like that with the officials.
Right.
It's got to go upstairs. You can't just say he did this swivel tackle, the player is injured, and therefore 15 yards, we got 30 seconds to play, and the opposing team has a chance to go win the football game.
Right.
That's a big call.
I just, like I said, I know there and a number of players who have been injured have mentioned this, and I know I'm not trying to say, yeah, I get it. You had a potential career-ending injury, but it's still – there are injuries are part of football. We have guys step on the – hell, we had a guy in a Super Bowl run on the field and blow out his Achilles.
He did.
So, I mean, I just think that this – we don't need more rules in a sport that it takes sometimes 3, 4, 5 sentences or a paragraph for the ref on the PA system to tell you what the penalty is. Enough. One of the other things which is going down is the schedule. And one thing they saw last year with that Eagles-Giants game, that was the nightcap. But the Chiefs and the Raiders on Christmas Day, which we used to be the territory for the NBA exclusively, the NFL says it's now we own Christmas too. We're going to have a second set of games, Carl, where they will present it like a Thursday night turnaround. In this case, teams will play on a Saturday and then come back and play on Wednesday, December 25th. So we'll have Christmas football again, a doubleheader. What do you think?
Well, I like it. I love that we get more football, and especially on Christmas. The NFL knows this now, right? Everyone's home. They just kind of had not even attempted to do anything around Christmas. It had always been after. We'll do a Black Friday game. We'll do our regular Sunday after Christmas if it doesn't fall on Sunday. Now they've just bodied the NBA.
Right.
And if you're an NFL fan, you're watching whack NFL games, okay, if they are, and I don't think they will be because those are playoff implication kind of games that late in the season. Or you're watching the NBA and their Big Five, you know, games or whatever. Love the NBA. But, Mike, you're giving me this choice now on Christmas?
Right. And by the time, you know, you've already had to be nice to your relatives, and now it's time to watch some TV. And that way, no conversation is needed.
So it's I can't be a hypocrite and tell you that I don't like it, because as a fan, I do. But the safety issues are bogus.
Well, that's what I'm saying. And that's why I started the show saying that. And that's why I got such a mean on for Roger Goodell when you're going to give me this rigmarole about this new tackle. If you want to have 75 to 80 points a game, just say it. Don't wrap it up in the guise of player safety, which is nonsense. You just want more offense. You're basically taking away the defense's ability to do anything these days. And then you're going to turn right around and say, for a second time, as we know, more injuries happen on the Thursday night game when you do have the short turnaround, and you're going to make that happen later in the season for potential playoff caliber. Because you're not going to put two dogs teams on Christmas Day. You're going to have some teams that are compelling to watch for that game. So the NFL is talking about both sides of its noggin. But wait, there's more. We got a Thursday game. We kick off the season. Nobody does it better than the NFL. It'll be the Chiefs as the home team, whatever. Friday night, we go to Brazil. The Eagles, we know, are going to be playing one of their road opponents, home opponents, so it could be us. But they're going to be in Brazil. It's going to be exclusively on Peacock. Friday night football, week one. You can only do it with Peacock. But all of us basically said, like I did, no, I got to watch the Chiefs. And then, of course, I had to watch the Chiefs in the Dolphins playoff game. 70% of people who signed on for Peacock have retained the subscription. So the NFL's got you by the short hairs again.
So Thursday night over the air.
Friday night on Peacock, if you want to watch the game in Brazil.
Okay. All right. Well, I guess I'll be watching the game in Brazil.
Remember for 2 weeks? Remember me? Like every night I would do my clear my throat. NFL, green, shameless. I won't do it. No more a la cartello. And then sure enough, it's like 45 minutes. It's like, it's you know what it is? The NFL is, it's a drug, Carl. We're addicted to it. I'm like, I need. So I did it. And then, like an idiot, because I was so angry that I did it, I canceled it the next day.
Yeah.
Which is stupid.
I don't think I canceled mine.
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
It's true.
So there you go.
I don't think I canceled mine. My whole thing was, I literally turned it on that night for the Chiefs playoff game or whatever it was. It was an afternoon, right? I think it was a Saturday or whatever. And I was like, well, where's the game? And it kept telling me, you need to update. And I was like, update what? And then it took me to that whole thing, you need to purchase. And I was like, oh, so... guess I'll be watching.
Hey, one last note on our rules here. The strong arm story of the day. The NFL makes these rules official today down in Orlando. Ted Grizzly, he hits us up. He goes, what about the offensive player that's trying to run players over who's really big? I go, that's a great question. I guess now if Derrick Henry or Josh Jacobs is coming your way, you say, ole! Or you just simply grab onto his belt and you go for a ride, Carl, until your friends get there. That's the new NFL.
Well, I just...
big bar. What was it, the old Oilers coach, Love You Blue.
Bum Phillips.
Big box car runs over a little box car, and if you are that little box car, you cannot try to use any form of leverage to get a guy on the ground.
Yeah, I just don't like. I mean, I want the physicality to stay in the game. It's so rare that this happens. I mean, and maybe the NFL has more info on this, Mike. Obviously, but
Rich McKay made it sound like it's an epidemic.
Is it?
No, it's not. It's nonsense. Yeah. It's nonsense. That's why I'm saying, if you just want to give more points and just take away the defense's ability to do its job, just say it. Don't wrap it up under the guise of player safety that nobody even thought was a problem in the first place.
I don't think it is. Because horse collar, I'm all for that.
Right.
Not this. Right. But either way, it's going to be a new rule, and guys have got to deal with it.
Hey, man. Appreciate the feedback, guys. A lot of guys saying, yeah, whatever. Yes, all the memes are coming out. Put them in dresses. So here we go. Hey, we'll come back. I think our Chris Thomas has got some humble pie to eat, Carl.
About what?
Eat some crow. Well, there's a guy. He's producing big numbers down there in Newport. Or Northport, I should say. Big numbers in spring trading. Braves report's coming up. Yeah, man. This kid's rocking, Carl. I feel good things are happening in left field. We'll explain next.
Patience.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.
For Around the Yard with your Atlanta Braves on Dukes and Bell. Brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Get a guaranteed offer on your home today.
He gets greeted rudely by Ronald Acuna Jr. It is gone!
Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Still getting a lot of texts and tweets and stuff on our Salmon Brothers Diamond text line about the NFL rule changes. A lot of guys feeling it's bogus. We'll talk to Randy Mueller. He writes for The Athletic, former NL executive. That'll be coming up in the 6 o'clock hour, Carl. Also get his take on the Falcons' moves. But right now, let's talk to our man, Grant McCauley, as he gives us a breakdown of the Braves. And Grant, I wish that our young producer, Chris Turtle Thomas, could take it to heart the message you gave him, I guess, a week ago, that it's always darkest before the dawn if you're a fan of Jared Kelnick, who seems to maybe be turning things around.
Goodness. I mean, a home run today, what can he not do in spring training? We'll never know because they played their last spring training game today. But I think you just had to see the process play out. And I understand everybody wants to see results. I mean, there's no player that wants to look at a scoreboard of any size that says, hey, you're batting 077. You're batting .143. You're batting whatever it is. I mean, unless it's 300 or better, most guys are probably not going to enjoy looking at that number. But putting all that aside for everything that Jared Kelnick has been working on, and I think everything that we heard from Kevin Seitzer as well about the confidence in the talent and the ability to make the changes that he needs to make to become a very productive player for this club. And then I think this is the real kicker for me, and this has been the same thing since the day that he was acquired. The expectation levels for Jared Kelnick and what he needs to do or has to do or is expected to do for the Atlanta Braves is night and day different than the expectation levels for the Mets when they drafted him in the first round and the Seattle Mariners when they traded for him and thought, hey, maybe we can build our franchise around this guy. Now he comes in. This is a franchise that's very well built, and he gets to play a part, and I think that's nothing but a good thing.
Grant, how do you feel about leaving camp? And, you know, listen, I know it's the beginning of the season. I think this Philly series is big, only because of the way the season ended. I know we got 162 to play, but how do you feel about the squad that is going to Philadelphia to start the season?
I think you got to feel really good about it because for the Braves in this spring training, I mean, outside of talking about Jared Kelnick, you know, getting things on track here and also looking at who's going to be the fifth starter, there was not a lot of intrigue and question marks about, like, what were the Braves going to look like this year? If everybody's healthy, that was a big if for spring training, that it looks like we're going to be able to check that box. I think you feel very confident about this club based on what they did last year, the new pieces that they brought in, and the talent level pretty much on man 1 through 26 and the role that they have to play. I think everybody understands that as well. So I think there's a lot of confidence in that. And I got to talk to Spencer Strider last week a little bit about his opening day start. And I asked him, I mean, do you look at this series any differently based on the last couple of Octobers, or is that just kind of outside noise? And he said, look, if we could win this game somehow on opening day and it was going to atone for us losing the last couple of years, that would be one thing. But this is not it, and that's not possible. So we're going to treat it like one of 62 or one of 162, and we look to win every single one of those. And while it may be boring and cliche to talk about the one game at a time approach, if you're able to do that and continue to win series and continue to pile up the victories the way that the Braves had, you have an opportunity to be a very successful baseball team. Now, they got to crack that postseason code. I don't want that to get lost in translation here, but I think that their focus on doing that and on the biggest goal that they can possibly have, which is reaching and winning another World Series, that I think is, it all starts on day one. I mean, we've talked about how the spring training stats don't matter. Well, on March 28th, on this Thursday at 3 p.m., all those stats are going to start to become a lot more meaningful for Spencer Strider and everybody else.
Right. And again, guys, next it starts this Thursday. Off day is Friday. Saturday, back to Earth with Max Fried. Then Chris Sale in action. Then Chris Morton. I mean, you got – I mean, if Sale is looking as good, Grant, as he has in spring training, then we really are set. And then we could always augment it at the trade deadline. But that pitching is pretty ripe.
Absolutely. And I think that the two things that the Braves could do to just put themselves in the best possible position, they learned one of them in 2021. That's have a strong bullpen. You can check that box. You keep all these guys healthy. I think you've got both quantity and quality of the depth and the options on the left side and the right side, which we've talked about a lot here the last few weeks. And then you knew that they needed to go out and get one more starter, and they knew they needed to go out and really find that one more starter that could solidify what they had built with Spencer Strider emerging as one of the best pitchers in baseball, Max Fried, a perennial Cy Young, you know, top three guy, and you got Charlie Morton, who's a veteran that's, I think, a lot of people might sleep on a little bit, but now you put Chris Sale with that mix, and whether it's right-handed or left-handed, whether it's missing bats, whatever the case is, the Braves have, I think, if they're able to keep this healthy, and I know that's the big if, I mean, this is a starting four that every club is going to look around and think, gosh, I wish we had something like that going on. Then you back it with the offense and a bullpen that can help out in the case of the Mortons and the Sales, that you're not asking them to throw 7 or 8 innings every time out. You get through 5 quality, 6 quality innings, you can start playing some matchups if you're Brian Snitker and feel pretty confident about that.
It's Grant McCauley, guys, joining us here on Dukes and Bill. We're talking about our Braves. Opening day is Thursday. Concern. Is there one? I was just looking at this today, and I was looking at the Dodgers and the Orioles and the teams that are going to be really good again, right? And I'm like, what is our concern? Is there one?
I mean, health is really the only one I can look at, and that's true for all 30 teams.
True.
I mean, and we got the Ronald Acuna Jr. scare with the rundown and the knee injury and the flight to L.A., and he was back, and he's seeming to be fine. And like I've said, I think if it was a regular season, that would have played out a lot quicker, and he would have been back on the field a lot faster. But health is the number one thing. And as Brian Snitker likes to say, I must hear him say this a dozen, two dozen times a year, nobody's immune from it. Somebody's going to get hurt, and it's not going to be at a good time, and we're going to have somebody step up. And he says the same thing about a lot of these starting pitchers that we see maybe not crack the rotation. You know, Ronaldo Lopez gets that 5 spot. That doesn't mean we've seen the last of Bryce Elder or A.J. Smith-Schaffer or that we won't see Hurston Waldrop or somebody else this year. It's just going to be that important for them to have the pieces that they can put in place when and if these plans change over the course of the year based on injury.
Grant, we haven't had a chance to talk to you in a couple of days. I know that he's the biggest name in baseball. Baseball doesn't really do a great job of marketing its stars. What did you make of the Ohtani thing? I mean, do you think this thing's going to drag on and it's going to be a big distraction for the Dodgers? And how long is MLB going to take to investigate it?
Goodness, I wish I had the answer to that last part because, I mean, if you're Ohtani and the Dodgers, you'd want it to be a pretty quick thing, but they're going to have to do some serious fact-finding with this, and this is not going to be handled, from my understanding, the same way that it is with the domestic violence policy that's in place where Major League Baseball launches these independent probes and investigations, and, you know, all of that has been collectively bargained and put in place. Now, no, you can't bet on baseball. I think we all know that. I think we've heard the name Pete Rose or the Black Sox more than a few times in our lifetime. But how do they determine where exactly Ohtani's involvement ends or begins or whether it was the case at all? So it's a lot more questions for me than answers. Obviously, he's the biggest star in baseball, and that's a global perspective as well because you got to think about his impact in Japan and beyond. I mean, this is a sensation who's done things that we've never seen before and has the ability to, you know, be one of the greatest players of all time. This was not the kind of thing that I had on my bingo card for expectations to be involved with because he's been so tight-lipped and so quiet and everything so personal. You didn't even know he was married until he went on this trip. And then we found that out, which congratulations to him. That's great. But he's so intensely private that that's, to me, is what stands out so much about this is, you know, you got to look at the people who are around you. And that's one of those things that I think we're going to be untangling for a little while.
It just doesn't add up for me, Grant. And I know we don't want to rush to judgment, but you've been around the game a long time. It doesn't add up. No, it doesn't. And again, I don't want to make him guilty before, you know, anything is proven, but this is going to be a difficult thing for people to swallow to just say, this guy stole $4 million from me and did the things he did. So, and it's going to continue to linger. Mike asked me yesterday, do you think this is a distraction? I do.
Yeah, sure. It has to be, right?
Yeah. I think the questions will continue. Mm. And, you know, whether the Dodgers get off to a great start or not, he's going to have to. Every city he's going to go to, they're going to be asking him what's new. And he's going to keep saying, can't talk about it. Can't talk about it. And his teammates, are going to be asked.
Yeah, no, they certainly will. I will say this, though, not to belabor the point, though, but if anybody's uniquely qualified enough to deal with the level of scrutiny that's coming his way, I mean, it's Ohtani. I mean, this guy gets double the questions of everybody else about everything because he's the only person who does what he does. So maybe that is some prerequisite for being able to handle some of that. But this is a much more uncomfortable battery of questions than, okay, so, you know, let's talk about your outing today, or let's talk about you going 3 for 5 with 2 home runs and 7 runs batted in.
Yeah, I know that. And the memes, I have to get a kick out of the memes where everyone say, wow, wish Pete Rose wish Pete Rose had an interpreter. It is our man Grant McCauley with us on the WadeFord.com hotline. Bring it back to the division. Are we still going to beat the Phillies by 10 games and have to worry about the the matchup? Or are the Phillies, they went and spent the money for Wheeler and Nola. Wheeler will be the opening day starter. But and Bryce is certainly healthier than he was at this time last year. So Phillies, I mean, do you see this neck and neck, or do you still see we have a decisive advantage talent-wise?
No, I mean, I'll put it to you this way. I mean, and this is not to take away from the talent that the Phillies have, but I think the Braves are a 100-plus win ball club. I think the Phillies are a 90-win team. But if you do some very simple math, there's still the possibility that the Braves could run away with the division. And I know JT Realmuto went on local Philadelphia radio and said, hey, we're kind of sick of watching the Braves win the division every year. Why can't we? It's an excellent question. And that's certainly the outlook that those guys should have. And obviously they've got the receipts come October when it really counted the most. But I still think from a talent perspective, I'd challenge anybody, and this includes the Dodgers, to find a club that is as well-balanced and well-constructed and as deep as the Atlanta Braves is. I just feel like that's the advantage, and there's no team in the National League East that can match up, I think, player for player, position for position with the Atlanta Braves and have a decisive advantage.
Mm. Grant, great stuff, as always. We look forward to our conversations with you as we get the season started. I, you know, everybody wants to jump to the playoffs. It's a process, but I'm with you. You know, we got to enjoy the wins along the way and see what the season brings us.
Kelnick going to open up and left, or it'll be
Duvall? Of course he is. Of course he is.
I think it's going to be Jared Kelnick with a righty on the mound.
Of course he is.
There you go.
And he's going to hit.
You hear that, Chrissy? Hear that, Chrissy?
He's going to hit.
It's going to be Kelnick. Chris is talking to Mike Conte. He's ignoring us.
Hey, Grant, when are you back on?
I will be back on Sunday night around 7 o'clock. It'll be post-Atlanta United's match, and I'll have 2 hours of great Braves and baseball talk. Hopefully, we'll be talking about a good series in Philadelphia, a little bit more about that road trip, and then we've got the home opener on April the 5th against the Arizona Diamondbacks, and I'm also going to be focused a lot on the 50th anniversary of Hank Aaron's 715th home run. That happens on April the 8th, so a lot of good early storylines for the Atlanta Braves. Catch them all on From the Diamond on 92.9 The Game, 7 to 9 on Sunday, and wherever you get your podcasts from the Odyssey app.
And we'll see you facha to facha at Murph's. We'll be doing the show.
You
at Murph's
absolutely
for the
will.
Home opener,
I'll be there.
All right, man. That's our man, G-Mac, Grant McCauley here on Dukes and Bell. This hour of the show, guys, is brought to you by All Four Seasons Garage and Entry Doors. I know, at Philly, you know, if I'm Philly, I don't care how you do it. You know, I don't think the division, Carl, it's great to have, and the pennants are fun, but I mean, the only one that matters is that big trophy at the end of the year, dude.
No, and they're going to be good again. And listen, they've got the swag. We've got to take the swag.
Yes.
We can't allow them to be, you know, strutting around, acting like they're the BMOC. We got to take that back.
But Kelnick can win some fans over. He punches somebody in the Phillies this weekend.
I just need him to hit a home run or two.
Hey, man, we got more to dive into in the big, meaty 6 o'clock hour, including a conversation with former GM Randy Mueller in the NFL. He writes for The Athletic. We'll get his take on the money moves the Falcons have made. There was a move today made by the Steelers. Got a lot of Falcon fans fired up. We'll get into all that in the headlines. Top three. Sorry, Carl. I figured I know when I got to throw my voice up. It's all coming up next on Dukes and Bell.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you.
I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL Draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number one. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.